Well, good morning and greetings to each one in Jesus' name this morning. Today is Mother's Day, and I believe it's generally assumed a Mother's Day sermon, right? And I never preached a Mother's Day sermon before. And as I got studying the Bible, there is some references to mothers. There's examples of mothers, but there's not a lot of admonition to mothers. There is some. But preaching a Mother's Day sermon is also very unique because it's something I will never experience. For sure not for this side of the house, at least for the direct application of it. But it's only for some of the people on this side. And God chooses different journeys, and there's different stages. But to you moms this morning, maybe this is somewhat of a motherhood is somewhat of a lot of times taken for granted place. But I want you to know that you are warriors for the church of God. And you have a specific calling and a special place this morning. I enjoyed the Sunday school lesson, and I couldn't help but when I had read the summarizing the lesson in the back, and I wasn't sure where to bring this in. I think there would be a part later in the message I could bring this in, but it says on the last page there, how much discomfort are we willing to bear in order to follow Christ's commands? How serious is our level of self-denial when it comes to serving Christ? Do we even qualify as his disciples? By the grace of God, we can. Let us not let our Lord and Savior down. And that question, do we even qualify? You know, as I thought about that in relation to Mother's Day, and I thought about how a mother relates to her children, I couldn't help but think of how Jesus' love for us, even when we don't measure up, even when we don't qualify, we are still loved. And I believe in a general sort of way, a mother loves all her children, even when they don't maybe measure up or meet her expectations to what we tend to expect. But anyway, I think we will touch on that a little bit more later. And that's not to excuse anyone as far as measuring up. We all have our place to fill and work to do. So today's title, I have Motherhood, a Calling from God. And I told Cheryl I don't feel like I can do any amount of justice to this topic because I feel it's big. But we're going to run over some of it and look at, did I say the title? Motherhood, a Calling from God. And what that calling and some of the dynamics of what that means. But before we get into that, today is Mother's Day, and what is significant about it? Who started Mother's Day? Does everybody celebrate Mother's Day? Why would we celebrate Mother's Day? And if you're like me, you kind of take this Mother's, okay, we have Mother's Day once a year. But the rest of the time, you can kind of somewhat take it for granted and overlook some of the deeper parts of what, why someone actually cared enough to start Mother's Day. And so, you know, I enjoy history, so I'd like to just take a very brief look at history. There was different women in the 1800s, especially, and we're talking about in the United States here, that tried to get something started as far as an annual Mother's Day remembrance. But Anna Jarvis, she's the primary figure behind getting Mother's Day established as a national holiday. And she's best known for her work in promoting the holiday. And then, interestingly enough, a few years later, she fought against it because of the way it got commercialized instead of what she had tried to promote. Initially, she spearheaded the effort to create a day to honor mothers, particularly in recognition of her own mother's sacrifices. She organized the first official Mother's Day celebrations in 1908 and then dedicated years of lobbying politicians and advocating for the holiday's recognition. And in 1914, which would have been 6 years after that first official one, President Woodrow Wilson officially designated the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day, a legal holiday. Again, it says, however, Jarvis later became disillusioned with how Mother's Day was becoming commercially exploited, and eventually she was campaigning against it. And it's interesting as we look back over history to see how hard she had worked for this. She had dedicated a large portion of her life to have this happen, and yet it became something she grew to despise due to how the world took hold of it and used it as a way to make money instead of taking it to heart to honor mothers. So should we celebrate Mother's Day? That may depend on what you mean by celebrate, but I believe it's a worthy reminder for us. I'm glad we have Mother's Day on the calendar, and I'm glad I believe most all of us, in a sense, celebrate this day. To recognize the women in our lives who have loved, served, and given themselves in so many ways, often without ever being properly recognized or compensated for it, for the way they've served. What's significant about mothers? We're going to turn to Proverbs 31, and I ask my wife if she likes this chapter, and she said, not particularly. And I said, well, I could understand if I was a woman. This chapter sets a very high standard that let's say if it was written about men, I think we would be equally as uncomfortable, right? And yet it sets a goal. It paints a picture, and we're not going to dig through this in depth and pull out every nugget of truth about the virtuous woman. But I'd like to read over it. We'll start Proverbs 31, and we'll read verse 10 through the end there. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. My Bible has a note under this, and it says, these verses describe the ideal wife and mother. Her whole life is centered around a reverent fear of God, compassion for those in need, and faithfulness and love toward her family. All the ideals set forth will probably not be fulfilled in one wife or mother. But each wife can seek to serve God, her family, and others in these kinds of ways with the abilities and material resources that God has given her. The thing that stood out to me in that little commentary says, seek to serve. You know, as Christians, we're all called to serve. That's part of being a Christian, is serving. That's where God has us. And no matter where you're called today, you can serve. But today we think of the specific and the beautiful calling of motherhood, serving in motherhood. Many times it means work all day. I didn't have this in my notes, but there's a saying that says, a man works from sun up till set of sun, a woman's work is never done. Something like that. Work all day and all night, right? At least by times. Only to do the same thing tomorrow and the next day and the next. And sometimes it feels like you're stuck in a system, maybe. I'm just painting a picture. This might not be where you find yourself this morning, but I know by spells it can be. Stuck and no light at the end of the tunnel. And meanwhile, your children don't care. And in fact, it might seem like they do as much, they make as much work for you as possible. Maybe your husband feels like the house is pretty much your responsibility and he doesn't help much. Or maybe he's too busy at work to be of much assistance. Or maybe he sits on his phone. Men, where are you? Are you supporting your wife like you should? I hope so. But not only are you expected to keep house, you're to keep the children washed, clothed, fed, out the door to school, and to church on time, and loving them all without losing your cool, your patience. especially when it seems like they're not trying to cooperate. And sometimes it seems like, you know, this just happens, especially maybe on the men's side, you know, hey, it's just part of it. And we, you know, yeah, there's busy times and we might help, or, you know, we try to do our part. But moms are behind the scenes constantly keeping things rolling, keeping things happening, I'm guessing most of the time we don't have to, as husbands, we don't have to remind our wife, are you going to make supper tonight? Maybe that might happen occasionally. Are you going to do the laundry sometime again? I'm just about out of, that might happen. It brings me to my first point, though. Motherhood is hard. Proverbs 31:13 there, it says, she worketh willingly with her hands. It points out a few other places. Her candle goeth out, not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle. It goes on to paint a picture through the next verses of giving examples of what she is busy doing. Ricky Lake said, motherhood is the greatest thing and the hardest thing. Motherhood is hard. Children, dads, if I ask you this morning, give me a list of what all your mom does, what all she is, what does she do? How many things could you just name off right off the get-go? I'll give you a few. This is just a few. What is your mom? What are our mothers? A nurse, a chef, a referee, a teacher, a chauffeur, a coach, entertainer, enforcer, investigator, translator, trainer, encyclopedia, comforter, lifeguard, manager, housekeeper. And a lot of times she's trying to do them all at the same time. That's just a few of them. Trying to do them all at the same time and wondering if she's getting anything accomplished. Maybe she's not. But moms, if you find yourself in this situation, full of frustration, discouragement, ask yourself the question, who am I doing this for? Am I doing it for me? Am I doing it so I won't look bad as a mom, so my children won't embarrass me? Am I doing it for my children, for my family, because I love them? But most importantly, are you doing it for God? Are you loving and serving your family because that is what God has called you to do? 1 Corinthians 10, 2 verses 31 and 33. Paul was talking about meat offered to idols. But he says there, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And then in verse 33, he goes on to say, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they might be saved. Paul was talking about, this isn't about his preferences. It isn't about what he wants to do. He's talking about trying not to offend the church, trying not to offend other believers. He's trying not to offend anyone. He wants the church to prosper and be blessed. He's not seeking his own profit, but the profit of others. Why? So that many people could be saved. People coming to Christ was his number one desire. Moms, is it the same for you? Are you serving your family for the glory of God, seeking not your own profit or glory, but the profit of your family? Most importantly, doing your part so that your children may grow up to be young people who come to know Jesus because of your example and your teaching that you've taught them. Is that your vision as you raise your children? that they might be saved. Try not to lose that focus when life is busy and chaotic and stressful. In motherhood, you are helping build the kingdom of God. Paul went through a lot for the kingdom. I hesitated to use all this, but in 2 Corinthians 11:23, several verses there, he's talking about what he went through. He says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." He's saying, even outside of all the hard things I've gone through, I have the care of the churches. I'm trying to take care of them, what God's called me to with that. And we can read over this list pretty easy. And, we know Paul went through some hard things. And maybe it's not real to us, but yet none of us would want to face even half of that. You know, none of us, we're glad that we're not called to that, at least not at this moment. But I'm sure those struggles, it was real. The pain, the cold, the shipwreck and everything, like, it was hard times. And looking at it through the lens, you know, we looked at the disciples this morning in Sunday school. They joyfully suffered. And I'm sure Paul was human. It was hard for him to joyfully suffer through all of that. I'm sure it was not always the case that he just always a smile on his face, life is good kind of thing. It was real. It was hard. And I'm afraid in our easy life culture, we've come to expect that life should just flow along smoothly and it shouldn't be too hard on us. And that's a nice thought, but it's likely not realistic, at least not all the time. See, it's easy to say I'm doing what I'm called for the kingdom. You know, I'm doing this for the kingdom. When you experience the rewards and the blessings, when you get that gratification for your work and your efforts feel like they're paying off. But what about when it is hard and you don't get that, when you are struggling through something? I'd like to remind you, motherhood is a special calling. It's a special, a place specifically filled. When a Christian woman fills that place well, God is honored and glorified and her family is blessed. None of us is called to be the Apostle Paul, thankfully. But just as Paul gave his life for kingdom work and went through many hard things, so the work of a mother, as she gives her life in service to her family, is for the kingdom of God. My second point, motherhood is fulfilling. In Proverbs 31:28, it says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Blessed, her husband also, he praiseth her." She's a blessing to her family. They love her. Children, do you call your mom blessed? How do we call our mother blessed? How are you praising her, fathers? I was reminded of that little poem. "I love you, mother," said little John, then forgetting his work. His cap went on, off to the garden, he went to the swing, forgetting the cool and the wood to bring. "I love you, mother," said little Nell, "I love you better than tongue can tell." Then she teased and pouted half the day, so her mother rejoiced when she went out to play. "I love you, mother," said little Ann, "today I'll help you all I can. How glad I am that school doesn't keep, and she rocked the baby till it fell asleep. Then stepping softly, she took the broom and swept the floor and dusted the room. Happy and busy all day was she, as helpful and busy as a child could be. I love you, mother, again they said. Three little children going to bed. How do you think that mother guessed which one of them really loved her best? Children, a reminder to thank your mom for the things that she does. Remember the whole list we looked at of things she does? How many of those? You know, maybe we can learn to do pretty good about thanking mom for the meal she made. Maybe that's pretty easy. What about all the other stuff? She's doing all kind of other stuff that we never thank her for. Other ways you can show your appreciation is to help her with the housework and her responsibilities as you are able to jump in and help. The children in that little poem were all different, but in spite of the difference of responses from the children, a mother loves each child. And because of a mother's love and care for a family, that love is reciprocated. They love her back. And because of they love her back, she experiences fulfillment in her calling and service. And her life of mothertude. There's a quote that says, a mother apparently said this, "If you think my hands are full, you should see my heart." I believe a mother experiences special fulfillment in loving her family. Mothers, you have a huge calling, and you don't get it perfect every day. But you do your best, and you pray about it. You pray for strength, you pray for love, you pray for wisdom to be all you can for your family, because they need you. So I put that plug in there again. Pray. Pray that God can work through you. I have a few thoughts that I'm going to share from Rhonda Cruz Norden. She says, Since 1989, I have interviewed a host of women to learn the challenges they faced in their marriage during the early parenting years. That's often when we think times are pretty hard for young parents. There's a lot of things to learn. There's a lot of sleepless nights and things like that. What they shared, coupled with scholarly research she put in a book, now years later, I circled back to ask the same women a few additional mothers I've encountered along the way. Is having children worth the hard work, the ups and downs in your life and marriage, and the sacrifices made as a mother? What makes it worthwhile, and is it worthwhile? She says, I heard a resounding yes, accompanied by a chorus of beautiful reflections about the journey through motherhood. Any ups and downs, they assured me, were more than balanced by joy and inestimable love that their children brought into their lives. The positives undoubtedly outweighed the negatives. One mother described the powerful emotion of a maternal love. Love for our children is so great that we forget ways they may hurt us or the rocky roads we oft travel as parents. It is a powerful force that erases the bad and allows only the good to be remembered. This is a mom's testimony. My interviews revealed mothers eager to define sacrifices made as opportunities, chances to give and learn and grow while shaping the life of another. Raising children is a privilege, they asserted. While some described caring for a family as hard work and making decisions affecting family well-being as difficult, most of the mothers acknowledged they were thankful they'd had the chance to do so and would do so again in a heartbeat. When asked about the high cost of raising a family, real and psychological, one mother chuckled. The cost, she responded, why, it's incalculable. just as love for your children is measureless, and the value of a child priceless. Motherhood is fulfilling. Why? Because it's God's plan. And the third point I have, motherhood is honorable and praiseworthy. So looking there at Proverbs 31:31, it says, let her own works praise her in the gates. Adam Clark commentary says, let what she has done be spoken of for a memorial of her. Let her bright example be held forth in the most public places. Let it be set before the eyes of every female, particularly every wife, and especially of every mother. And let them learn from this exemplar, what men have a right to expect in their wives, the mistresses of their families, and the mothers of their children. Today we recognize mothers. We recognize the love, the sacrifice, the service that you have given your families and the church faithfully. And we say thank you. We say thank you for that. There's a saying that goes, to the world you are a mother, but to your family you are the world. And I feel like as a church, we're blessed with many good mothers here this morning, many outstanding mothers, and we thank God for you. But I let this question with you as well. What example are you giving and teaching the next generation? In a world that's changing and bringing more pressure for career women instead of virtuous women, what will our daughters grow up to be? And may they embrace the path wherever God calls them, whether that is motherhood or not. Mothers, are they able to see the love and joy and fulfillment in you as you, that you find in serving? I believe God has specially chosen mothers to display the picture of Christ and his love for each of us as children. And I talked about that a little bit at the beginning. Mark 10:43, and also the one Sunday school class shared a verse parallel with this, but it says, but so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. We have the example of Jesus Christ, how he gave himself. While he was living, he left a perfect example of giving his life. And it's intriguing as we study the life of Christ, how there really isn't anything we can go back to and say, you know what? Okay, that's where he, you know, that he had time for himself, or he was, you know, self-gratification of any kind. He gave and gave and gave. And as mothers, I think, he gave and gave and gave, and he was the greatest man to ever live. And mothers, as you give and give and give, you are the greatest people. As you serve, you're fulfilling God's calling and filling your place in the kingdom. The more you serve, the greater you are in Christ's kingdom. What a praiseworthy and honorable position there. I have some lyrics I'll share with you yet. In a world that's broken, she's a ray of light, a gentle soul, a guiding light. She loves unconditionally, her heart so pure. She's an angel on earth, of that I'm sure. When she's feeling down, she turns to faith. She finds strength in the Lord's embrace. She prays for forgiveness, she walks the way. She gives her loving kindness every single day. A picture of a woman who's life is in God's hands, a life in Christ's hands. And maybe some words somewhat more on the lighter side. If you have a lot of fun, but your work is never done, you're a mom. If your living room floor looks like a toy store, you're a mom. If you need a sick day, but instead you're going to play, you're a mom. If your first occupation sounds like a sweet vacation, you're a mom. If you work all day, but you never get paid, you're a mom. And we could argue that, but if you mean the whole world to a little boy or girl, you're a mom. The Bible that you hold can shape these little souls. You're a mom. If you have the most important job in the world, you're a mom. And I share that with you because don't underestimate your place in the home. It says you have the most important job in the world. And as we think of spending time with our children and giving an example and showing God's love to them, children spend a lot of time with their parents. It's God's design. And you have a big job to let an example of Christ in their hearts and show them love, the love of Christ. So again, to the mothers here today, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, your service and love, and may God bless each one of you in a special way today. And I believe the men will be happy to turn the meals back to you after today as well. God bless you all. Let's kneel for prayer.